You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Because you can handle the truth.
Fighting soldiers from the sky. Fearless men who jump and die. Men who mean just what they say. The brave men of the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Trained to live off nature's land, trained in combat hand to hand. Men who fight by night and day, courage take from the Green Beret. Silver wings upon their chest. These are men, America's best. 100 men will test today, but only 3 win the Green Beret. Back at home, a young wife waits. Her Green Beret has met his fate. He has died for those oppressed, leaving her this last request. Put silver wings on my son's chest. Make him one of America's best. He'll be a man they'll test one day. Have him win the Green Beret.
Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore on this, a Friday, the 12th day of July in the year of our Lord, 2019. Hope everybody's having a good morning. We're going to go ahead and go straight to our guest, Tom Berryhill. As time is so precious on the air, we always have such a large amount of things to talk about. Good morning, Tom.
Morning, Tim. How are you doing out here in the Ozarks?
Not bad. Not bad, buddy. Beautiful day so far. Glad we're not about 1,000 miles or so south down in Louisiana right now. But other than that, I'm doing great.
That's great, Tim. What are we going to talk about today, then? The radio equipment?
Oh, sure. I could talk about that forever. You know that. Tell me where you want to start, and we'll go there.
Well, the last time we talked about emergency communications, I was focusing on HF equipment, and I know for any type of extended outage, power, or just breakdowns in society, anything like that, where there's long-term blackouts, what have you, I really think the HF systems would be very, very important, because you would be able to not only cover your local area with communications, but on a regional and a national and international basis as well. So I focus on that, portable equipment that can be operated out in the field, along with solar panels if needed, or generators. Of course, if fuel became in short supply, solar panels would be the better option. And portability, so you can move the equipment quickly if needed. And that's where I'd like to focus, Tim.
Well, let's go for it. What do we want to start with, portables or solar panels, or where do we want to start?
Well, all of it, really, in general. I really think some of these newer HF transceivers that cover all the bands are really the way to go. For instance, one of the radios I use is a Yaesu FT-857D, and that is a really nice unit, very, very compact. In fact, I believe it's one of the smallest 100-watt class HF transceivers. It also covers the VHF bands and UHF. So it's,
oh, wow.
Oh, yeah, it's everything that you would need. I guess there's good and bad with that, but I kind of like it because it's very portable, very small, and it would cover all of those frequencies. If you had some sort of a cable setup that would allow you to connect onto your batteries, whether it be in an automobile or portable battery banks, you'd be able to operate for a long, long time with that piece of equipment. You could use it with homemade antennas. You don't need to make a huge investment in antennas. Now, if you're wanting to operate in on the ham bands and do contest communications, a lot of hams like that, where they gather points and they get awards and things like that for as many stations as they can talk to on an international basis.
Right.
Small homemade antennas might not be the best way to go. You need a big tower with rotating Yagi beams and things like that. But my focus has always been on low-power communications, using just a few watts of power and homemade antennas, power supplies, things like that. You can even build the entire piece of equipment from scratch. It's rather complex if it's single sideband and other modes. Usually the homemade equipment is for Morse code, are called CW, which stands for continuous wave. That's where you just turn the transmitter on and off with a telegraph key. The telegraph key is nothing more than a switch, and it turns the transmitter on and off. So, and as a matter of fact, the Morse code is the most efficient way if the conditions are very, very bad. A lot of noise, a lot of interference and things like that. That mode of transmission will, in almost every case, get through. As long as you can hear the signal, even barely, you'll be able to copy it and get the information through. So it's amazing what you can do with just a few watts of power. 5 watts, even less than that. I've communicated all over the world with 2 watts of power. I've had flashlights more powerful than some of these small transmitters and been able to use those to communicate worldwide. It can be done, and of course it depends on the sunspot cycle, and every 11 years the sunspots peak and then they decline until the next peak 11 years later. So you have to pay attention to that too. But for the most part nowadays, I'm focusing more on the emergency communications side of things, and I pay attention to portable equipment and the accessories needed to make it work out in the field. I think that's a lot of your listeners and John's listeners are interested in preparedness, and of course ham radio equipment would be way up on the list for your bug out bag, and to have that capability would make you a very valuable asset to your group.
Oh, absolutely. Especially, you know, as they say, you know, fear of the unknown is much worse than, well, I don't know how to put it, but not knowing what's going on will make your mind play tricks on you, I guess is what I'm saying. And usually the reality is much, much less of a threat than what your mind perceives it as. Once you have hard information, you can make non-panicked, better decisions. So that ability to be able to get information is very important, in my opinion. Now, I'm curious, Tom, with everything going on down in Southeast Louisiana, Mississippi, all that right now, are you monitoring any uptick in activity from ham transmitters down in that area?
Well, actually, Tim, I haven't been on the air at all in 2 weeks.
Oh.
I just haven't had I've been so busy working, and I've got some jobs I'm working on right now that just keeps me totally out of the loop. Although I have equipment on standby, I could easily get on there, and I may do that tonight. I'll get on and see what's going on.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you, apparently this is going to be a rain and flooding event more than anything down there. And, of course, Lori and I lived in Plaquemines Parish, which is that little boot hill area that goes south of New Orleans. And, you know, every time there was a hurricane, half that place was underwater. I heard there was a mandatory evacuation there and St. Tammany's Parish, but Orleans Parish is telling people to shelter in place, which may or may not be a good idea. We'll have to wait and see. But 25 inches of rain is what they're calling for, and that's going to be a mess.
That's a lot of water.
Yeah.
A lot of water. So, you know, as far as communications goes, if they have major flooding like that and everybody wants to rely on their cell phones, if any of those cell sites are in low-lying areas, they're going to really have problems with the equipment. It could take the whole system down. Now, we've talked before about how the service levels on cell phone systems work, and a lot of people don't know this, Tim, but there's various levels of service, with the lowest for the prepaid type of phones. They
right.
come in with the lowest status, and then it goes up from there, and your average user is kind of in the middle. The prepaid plans and pay-as-you-go types of things are towards the bottom, and at the very top is the federal government and then state and local government. So they can shut down the entire cell system if they wish to.
Oh, yeah.
And, yeah, they can shut it down and only allow certain service levels to be allowed to operate on there. So if you see that you have a good signal on your phone, but you can't get through, that could be what's happening. Now, the other thing is, if there's major flooding and those cell sites go underwater, you might only see the tower sticking out and the building where the equipment is. They have backup generators at all these sites. Sometimes they'll even have solar panels for the smaller ones and battery banks. Those things will stop working and be extensive damage that has to they have to dry out and then allow them to be rebuilt. That could take those systems down for an extended period of time. That's where the ham radio operators would come into play, because they are allowed to change frequencies and use the frequency band that works best for that time of day, time of the sunspot cycle. As the conditions change, there's other frequencies that will be better. But the cell phone systems are locked in on certain frequencies, and they cannot change those. Same with the
right.
law enforcement, fire protection, all of those. They're locked in on specific channels, and they can't change, whereas the ham operators can pick what's going to work the best under various conditions and operate on those frequencies and get the messages through. So I know with a lot of the flooding they had in Texas 2 or 3 years ago, they were using a ham radio operators to get a lot of that traffic through. So it was really a welcome thing.
Oh, I'm sure it was. I wasn't in the know on the Houston deal other than what I read on the news. I didn't have any direct contact with, you know, anybody working it there. But I absolutely remember after Hurricane Hugo, the ham radios were basically the lifeline.
Yes, that's true. And then also, Tim, your ability to generate the power. So
right.
We can talk a little bit about that. And one of the best ways to have backup electrical power, I feel anyway, is to have inverter systems, battery-powered inverters, and then a propane power generator, and only run the generator for a few hours a day to recharge the batteries and then operate from those batteries. And the,
right.
the reason for this is, if you have a generator running, and let's just say it's a 5-kilowatt type of generator, which is a real popular size, and
right.
you power that thing up, and it's consuming gasoline at a pretty quick rate, whether you're using one tiny light bulb to light up a room, or a small television set, or you're trying to operate a well pump, or your electric dryer, what have you, the load is, it changes a little bit the fuel consumption with the load, but even if you're only running a light bulb or a
right.
refrigerator, it's going to take a lot of fuel to run that around the clock. So if you just charge batteries and let the batteries store the energy, let the batteries power the inverter. When the inverter needs very little current, the batteries supply very little current. So if you're running a light bulb off a power inverter connected to a battery bank, you're only consuming a small amount of energy and only what's needed for that particular moment.
Right.
Whereas the generator's got to keep drinking that fuel constantly, no matter what you're doing. So just use the generator to charge the batteries and use the batteries to supply your power as required. And then also we have to talk about heat. So if you have electric heat, well, you've got a serious problem on your hands. Electric heat, I feel, is the most efficient and probably the cleanest way to heat your home, but it's also the most expensive as far as emergency
yes.
use, because you would have to have a huge generator to power the those electric coils that are inside your furnace. So that's the only downside. That and air conditioning, they use a lot of electric power, and you have to
take all
of that into consideration. So, yeah.
Well, I think, I don't remember if it was John or somebody else was telling me idea about burying a couple of those real big propane tanks and then buying propane in the summer and filling those things up, and then you've got not an unlimited supply, but you've got a very large supply of fuel for your generator. But I still like your idea better of having a propane generator and just running it a couple hours a day to charge your batteries. I really like that idea more.
That is one of the better ways to go. Now, I do have a power inverter that it's a large one, but it was used for a major moving company. It came out of their headquarters when they acquired another firm, and they either had to put in another power inverter and then do maintenance on two, or just consolidate it all into one as they added this extra building. So they sold off their original unit, and it's a 10-kilowatt power inverter. It's a
wow.
very nice unit. It's about half the size of a home refrigerator, but it runs at high voltage. It runs at 156 volts, so you have to have a string of batteries. And then I added a lot of batteries to it, and then I just charge those batteries. Now, a lot of these inverters will operate like this one I have. And what you do, you have a control panel on there that will actually turn on a relay that will start up your power generator if need be. So when it senses that the battery voltage is getting low, and you can program all this on the control panel, it will actually start the generator, and then and the generator starts charging these batteries and is also running the power inverter at the same time. And then when the batteries come up to full voltage, when the system detects that they're totally charged and ready to go, it shuts down the generator and lets the batteries resume their duty. You know, they go back to powering the whole system, and the generator's out of the loop. It can be all automatic. I really don't care much for automatic systems, Tim, that just come on if you're not there. You know, I like to be there when things like that happen. So if there was an outage where I am, I will run that system, and I will let it be automated and the generator to come on and off, but I will also shut the generator just cut it out of the loop, how to get it offline and let it set and just reduce the load to almost nothing, maybe a few light bulbs if I have to be away for any amount of time, and just let it run those. And this is, of
right.
course, assuming there's a very long-term outage. But I have a 1,000-gallon propane tank. Now, propane tanks can only be filled to 80% capacity. They need room for the propane to evaporate and form the gas, because otherwise
right.
it's a liquid. And so you can always calculate your load. You can, or your what I mean is the propane consumption by you have to monitor it and run your system and get some experience with it. But you can then chart the whole thing and figure out how long you'd be able to operate through an extended outage. It's not too hard to do.
Okay, buddy, we got a break. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. Call-in number is 1-800-313-9443.
Many people write us about their experience with Extendivite. Allow me to read you some from Amazon.com. It really does work like the review says it does. I cannot believe that after the first few days, I didn't feel as sluggish or clogged up. It has had a profound impact on my physical, emotional well-being. I'm skeptical as most people about products and their claims, and I never write reviews, but this is a wonderful product and I recommend it to everyone. Great product. It has brought my blood pressure from the mid-150s over the 80s to the mid-130s over mid-80s. Along with diet and exercise in just the past couple of months. Excellent. Thank you, David. Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Koshertified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Koshertified app can make a huge difference for your future.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, look away, look away, Dixieland, in Dixie's land.
And welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Today is the 12th day of July in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore today. And we're visiting with Mr. Tom Berryhill. Tom, I was thinking while we're on the break, we're talking about alternative energy supplies, which I could go on literally for a week talking about. Are you aware of anything that actually, efficiently can be used with both solar and wind power for charging batteries?
Well, Tim, any source of power, if you have the voltage high enough and you have the able to push it into the batteries, you know, the amperage, if you can supply the amperage, almost anything works. You know, one of the best systems for a small user, like, you know, a homeowner or a small building, maybe even a commercial building, I think, are these wind generators and battery banks. So, say, for instance, you have this battery bank, you have your power inverter, and then you have a wind generator or a regular gasoline or propane or diesel generator, you're set to go. But if you think about our solar panels, of course, the same. But if you really look into things, you'll find out that the wind generation and solar generation is really the two that are best to use because, well, first of all, the solar panels have come down dramatically in price over the years, and they're getting right. very efficient. They're very inexpensive, and there's even solar panels that you can roll up. That's what I have. I don't remember where I got that thing, but you can roll it up, and you can unroll for storage and then unroll it when you're ready to use it. So for portable ham radio operation, I just unroll that solar panel and plug it into the battery bank, a small portable battery bank that I have, and then I have the equipment plugged into that, and you're on the air and ready to go. Set up your antenna, and the solar panel will actually be charging those batteries. But, of course, when you're transmitting, that's where you use up most of the power.
Right.
And but it the solar panel will, in between your transmissions, will continue to top off those batteries and keep them going. Same thing as feeding the batteries with a generator, whether it be propane, natural gas, gasoline, or diesel, you're doing the same thing. And
okay.
Now, wind generator, though, is one of the good ways to go as well, because if you have wind coming through your area, it's going to be turning, and it's close to free energy you're going to get. Same thing with solar. So solar and wind power are some of the best. If you have the skills to set these up, or you can get some help to set it up, it'd be a good way to go.
Well, that's what I was thinking, combining the two, you know, in case you got a windy, cloudy day or a sunny, calm day, you still got juice. We're going to go to Jerry in Texas on line 9 now. Good morning, Jerry.
Good morning, Tim and Tom. You may get some third-party communication going on here with my roosters and animals, but anyway. I think wind and solar complement each other personally, but that's my own opinion. That and 4 bits will buy you a cup of coffee. Well, I don't know if you can buy a 4-bit cup of coffee yet anymore or not, but anyway. Back to radios. Tom may recall, I've got an 857 Yaesu. Buddy of mine calls it the shack in the box because it is all mode. I think particularly on the FM frequencies and where you can get these what they call quad bands now that 70 centimeter, 2 meter, 6 and 10 mobile units, but they don't have sideband capability. And I can't help but think that may be something that will be very important in the future. That's just a conclusion I've drawn on my own. But the only drawback I have with the that Yaesu and most of these moderns, you almost have to have a degree in computer and what have you to be able to program those things if you don't have, even to operate them. I mess up all the time on them, but anyway. What do you think about that 818 Yaesu that was recently released, Tom?
Okay, Jerry. Well, the Yaesu 818, I believe, is the newer version of an FT817ND,
right,
which is what I have. That's a 5-watt radio, and they came out with that 818. I believe it is a 6-watt, so they increased the power. It may have some other refinements, but it's just an upgrade from whatever they were doing in the past. That 817 ran for many years. I'd say at least 10 years they produced those FT817s, which was a pretty good unit. I have one. It draws very little current on receive. It is one of the better radios to use out in the field as long as you're happy with low power because it's only 5 watts. I want you to keep in mind...
We got a break,
when you're
guys.
Operating... Okay.
We got a break. Sorry. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 3 minutes. 800-313-9443.
Here's a little song.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT today.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly a million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, D-O-M-E-D-A-N, at hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.
Many people tell us about their experience with Extendivite. Just listen to what Glenn has to say.
Prior to taking it, I had diabetic neuropathy. The Extendivite reduced that significantly. Acid reflux was reduced. I had athlete's foot, very severe. Trimmed that down to about 75% dandruff. Almost completely gone. I had occipital neuralgia at the base of my skull. I was having migraines, reduced by about 90%. Heart palpitations, my heart would kind of stall out. I would skip a beat. Very uncomfortable. And when walking from downstairs going to sleep, by the time I got to the bedroom, which is just one flight of stairs, my heart was pounding, coming out of my chest. My vision was blurry. This completely solved that problem. Great product. Thanks.
Tell us your story. Get Extendivite today. Call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
And we're back, ladies and gentlemen. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore on this, the 12th day of July in the year of our Lord, 2019. We're currently visiting with Mr. Tom Berryhill and talking to Jared on line 9. Okay, guys, we were discussing the pros and cons of the ASU 817, 818 series. Where do we want to go from here?
Well, the comment I wanted to make, Tim, is that Jerry mentioned single sideband operation. And what everybody has to remember on this radio equipment, and most new hams start out on the VHF and UHF bands in FM mode. When you push the microphone button on whatever piece of equipment you're using and you're in the FM mode, whether you say one word or just push the microphone button, it consumes the maximum amount of power from the batteries when that transmitter comes on. So depending on how many watts of power you're running that equipment at, it's going to consume the maximum amount from those batteries as soon as you push that microphone button. On single sideband, you can push the microphone button. If you don't say anything, it draws about the same current, maybe a little bit more than as you're receiving, but it only draws maximum current on voice peaks. So it's a very efficient way to communicate and at the same time conserve battery power, because you don't use a lot of power until you have the voice peak. So in between voice peaks, your batteries are used very little. And that's something to keep in mind. It's a very
I did not know that.
Use, Oh, yeah. Here's how you could monitor that, Jerry. Put a, if you have an analog, it's hard to do with a digital meter, but if you had an analog voltmeter, I'm sorry, an analog ammeter, and that you could put in line, it'd have to be at least a 20-amp or 30-amp ammeter. Like one of these ammeters, the old ones that had a plus and minus scale for, you know, the older cars where the, when they had ammeters. You don't want a right. digital one. I mean, you could get a digital one, but they're expensive for this purpose. Just get a cheap one. Put it in line with your battery feed, and then operate on FM, and then operate on AM, and watch what it does. It'll draw a lot of current on AM, and then even more in the voice peaks, and then operate on single sideband, and you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. Single sideband will consume the least amount of power in between words and syllables. So as you speak and your voice peaks come in, that meter will show a lot of current being drawn, but it'll drop off instantly if you're not saying anything. Whereas the FM and AM, mostly FM is what's used a lot, that will consume full power whether you're saying one word or just pushing the microphone button and being silent. It consumes a lot of power.
Well, that explains why they offer these little battery packs with that 817 and 818. And I was wondering about that didn't seem like a whole lot of energy storage there. But that explains a lot to me right there. If you're running single sideband.
That battery bank that comes with that radio, they do have a the 817. I'm not familiar with the 818 because I've never even looked at one. I've seen pictures of them and some basic info, but I've never operated one or even seen one in person. But it's probably the same where they allow a small battery bank to be placed inside a radio. That's for a very limited use. You're not going to get a lot of hours of operation out of that piece of equipment with that tiny little battery in there, especially if you're operating on FM modes.
I'm under the assumption that the 818 has got an external battery pack. Now, I may be wrong.
Okay, it could.
Jerry. I don't know.
I don't know either. I do know the 817 has an internal battery pack that comes with it when you purchase a radio, and I've never really used it. I use an external battery that's much larger, and then use various ways to charge that battery and keep it topped off. That is the way to set up your portable operations, and a lot of people might be able to use that small internal battery in those radios because it's enough for their mode of operation. They may only listen a little bit and talk a bit and then maybe recharge it. But I'm always focusing on long-term outages where you need to operate that equipment for a long period of time. It could be days or weeks, maybe even months. That's what I'm looking at. We don't know what's in the future, and we want to be prepared.
I'm the same way. Real cream works real good when you're getting your hair in place and keeping there a little dab-a-dee, but on something like this, long-term permanent fix, kind of, sort of, is more important. But, okay. I guess that's the only things that... Hank Munster at F-Works, he sets up a system, battery and a generator system that automatically starts, like if you're running a microwave or something, a certain amperage draw, it'll automatically kick that generator on to pick up that power surge. And,
automatic bus transfer.
What?
Automatic bus transfer.
Okay.
That's what it's actually called.
Okay, well.
That'd be very similar to a hybrid car. That's almost how a hybrid car works.
Right. Okay, Jerry, do you have anything else?
Okay. Y'all have a good weekend. Thanks
you
for
too.
Taking
Next,
my call.
Thank you, Jerry. Next, we're going to Kyle in Montana on line 11. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning. You guys could almost make an ice cream or something, the Tim and Tom show, or Tim and Tom's cherry ice cream, or, you know, something like that. That actually goes well. Well, living off the grid is something that I do know quite a bit about. I lived off grid for many years and still have the potential to do that. And I have some thoughts on some of the things you said. One of the things that you want to remember as far as consumption of fuel is that propane, you will get about 11 to 12% less power out of your generator, or out of consumption wise, it will consume more than gasoline. But your oil will last a lot longer and your engine will last a lot longer. So I do agree that propane is the way to go. Plus, you can store that almost indefinitely, you know. The other thing with gasoline, to store gasoline, there is a product called Seafoam. It's been around forever, S-E-A foam. And I know for a fact, because I've tried it, that that will preserve gasoline for at least 4 years, as long as it is not have ethanol in it. There's no way to preserve ethanol fuel perfectly, in my experience. It just doesn't work.
Well, there is one product that works pretty good, and it's called PRI-G. PRI-G.
Yep.
G is for gasoline. And I've had very great success with that.
That is an excellent product. I also have used that. But the problem that I have ran into, and I think if you get a clear container and try to, and you will find out that if you use the PRIC foam, I don't care what it is, you get a clear container, and if your product, if you store it like in a clear mason jar, well, it'll be an eye-opener for you. You put that ethanol gasoline in there, no matter what it is you put in there, that I have tried so far, after about 3 to 4 weeks, you'll start seeing that ethanol separate from the gasoline, and then in a tank, the ethanol will collect water, and then that will cause trouble in your tank. That's been my experience so far. Input I had on this has been, if you're going to use batteries, get enough that you can, and you're thinking in terms of living off-grid, get enough for sure that will run your entire house. I mean, make sure that it'll do it. And you pipe your house for propane, or get it piped for propane, because anything, there's an old adage, living off-grid, you live and die by the amp. And that is just the way it is. Anything that creates heat or sucks heat out of the air, like Tim was saying, or Tom was saying, that the air conditioners and stuff like that, if it sucks heat out of the house, or it's creating heat in the house, if it's electric, you're almost going to have to avoid it. Go to LED lights, do the best, those kind of things. I piped my entire house for propane. It was all electric when I first bought it, and I repiped it, tore every bit of that electric stuff out of it, piped it for propane. I have a hot water heater and a stove and everything that runs off of nothing but propane. And I have figured it out to about a maximum of 33 gallons a month is what I'm burning up without using it for the generator. But anyway, the other thing on solar and wind, because I've had both. My experience has been that wind, unless you live in a very good place that's just got wind almost all the time, you're better off putting your money into solar panels. Because if wind is intermittent where you live, don't waste your money. Because it just, and the other thing is, if your wind generator, you want to be able to put it as close to your house as you can. I know that's going to sound kind of strange, but get it up in the air and get it close.
You're talking about line loss, aren't you, Kyle?
Yep, line loss, especially in 24 to 48 volt systems. Line loss, if it is further than 40 feet, say you got a 40 foot pole and you're going 30 or 40 feet, into your house, your line loss is amazing. Even if you run number 10 wire, which is good heavy duty wire. The other thing to remember, if you're going to transfer power, is use stranded wire if you can, because electricity travels on the outside of a wire.
DC and electricity,
If you have, AC electricity, And if you have many strands, then it travels over the outside of those many strands, rather than just if you have a solid, it'll just travel over the outside of the solid. My opinion, too, keep your batteries at about, make your system so that you're operating on the top 10% of the batteries. We lived off of those batteries that we where we were at before for 11 years. Those batteries lasted me, which is way beyond what most people get out of them, because I would only operate on the top 10%, and then if I had to, I'd fire up the generator and charge them up. But now I'm set up so that I have 12 LR16 Trojan batteries. They weigh about 105 pounds apiece. And I have six 305-watt, 24-volt solar panels. And so what's really handy about that is those batteries will run my entire house. That's a freezer and a refrigerator all night long, no problem. And by 11:30 in the morning, if it's sunny, my solar panels have those things topped off. So it's just something that you might people want to consider. That so, in my opinion, solar is by far excellent. And my the old solar system, I'm in contact with the guy that where I had the other solar system hooked up, and it's still operating perfectly. And it's about 17, 18 years old now. And so anyway, the newer solar panels, if you get good brand, good ones, you can sometimes find a closeout on them through, I like to use Backwood Solar is where I usually go through. They're excellent. The gentlemen, the people there are very friendly and helpful, and they really know their stuff. But anyway, just that's just a little bit of information that's helpful, I hope. Anything to add, gentlemen, guys?
Well, Kyle, I'm very impressed with the way you're set up, and I've heard you talk about it before. You've got the skills. You've done it, and you've got the experience and long-term experience, so you know what to do and what not to do, but you're absolutely correct that any kind of electric heat, your air conditioning, anything like that, those are large loads that will really use up the current. Now, what I do in my case, I'm going to explain exactly how I'm set up. When we bought the house, it was built with a huge stone fireplace, and they used stones that were excavated during the construction of the home. And those stones will actually heat up and even hold some of the heat and then radiate it later on. But the fireplace has an insert in it that will heat the whole house. So what I do, and also this fireplace insert, you can open the doors, and it's all built in. It's not one of these units you buy and set it into the fireplace. It has regular doors that open, and you can enjoy the fire if you want, or you can close those doors. And it even pulls in, very well thought out when the guy that built the house, we were the second owners. What he did was he plumbed in fresh air from outside, so you can shut off the whole front of that fireplace so the combustion air comes from outside the home. It comes in through a separate vent, and the combustion then it doesn't rely on pulling any air out of the house and using up any heat that you've already generated. It's pulling in the air from outside.
That's and smart.
Of course the fire burns and the smoke goes out the chimney, and it heats up the insert section, and then it comes out of vents on the side. What I do, we also have a propane, very high efficiency, the best one I could afford. I put my own furnace in. I had to replace the furnace, so I bought the best, and I did the duct work and everything and installed a furnace, and I think it's 96% efficient something like that. But anyway, that furnace is really works great. And what I do on the furnace is I set the blower, the fan, to run all the time. And I set the temperature setting on the thermostat for the propane furnace. I'll set that around 60 or 65 or 62, somewhere in that range. Depends on how cold it is outside and things like that. And then there's a separate thermostat in the family room where that fireplace is. And I set that to where when it shuts down at the end of the, you know, late in the evening or early morning, the other propane furnace will kick in and
okay,
still continue to heat the whole house.
Hold your thoughts, buddy. We'll be back in 3 minutes, folks. 1-800-313-9443.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
When your doctor tells you you have bad cholesterol or blockages in the arteries, what do you do? When diet and exercise is not enough, we try medications and hope for the best. For the last 2 decades, I have been telling people about a natural method to help solve these problems and more. Extendovite can help maintain cardiovascular health and lower blood lipid levels in adults. The 7 herbs in Extendovite are known to work together synergistically to get the results we hope for. There are many testimonials on Extendovite's effect on circulatory-related ailments. Get Extendovite today to start your journey back to a healthier life. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com or see us on amazon.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Tired of being lied to by mass media? It's growing more and more apparent today that news is received less and less through standard media outlets. Even with a growing audience every day, RBN is beginning to direct more efforts into social media. Social media and the use of the internet is fast becoming the primary source of people for news, regardless of demographic. RBN has set out to provide some of the best news on the internet through republicbroadcasting.org and also has begun to use the tools to our advantage by way of social media. Republic Broadcasting is now operating a Facebook page to function as yet another avenue to have our collective voice reach new audiences across not only America, but across the globe as well. The Facebook page features not only news, but also an RBN player to listen to our broadcast. Get involved by visiting facebook.com/republicbroadcasting and liking our page and share it with your friends and family, because you can handle the truth.
Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we are back. Today is the 12th day of July in the year of our Lord, 2019. This is Tim Spencer sitting in for John Moore. Right now we're visiting with Mr. Tom Berryhill and Kyle in Montana on line 11. Okay, gentlemen, where were we? I got distracted for a minute looking at the headlines on Drudge. Looks like Labor Secretary Acosta just resigned over this Epstein scandal, so he's out. Probably good. I don't know.
Well, Tim,
you know, Tom, I'll, yeah, I I admire that tremendously. If my wife would let me, I would put in one of those rocket stoves, you know, that you run your vent through some gravel. A friend of mine who's a mason did that in his house, and he has huge windows in this big place. And he run around, I don't know, about 18 feet, I guess, of this gravel running down in the,
right.
And I guess it's about 3 feet wide, and it runs around in this area. And he'll heat that up at night, and his house in the middle of winter will not be below 65 degrees at the end of the day. And his house, he burns like 2.5 to 3 quarts of wood is all year long. It's just amazing.
I wish I could say that.
Oh, me too. Well, I burn at least 5 to 6 quarts a year.
Me too.
Well, in my case, I use propane most of the time because I've just so become so busy with other projects. I just haven't messed with the wood that much. But if there's any kind of a power outage, or if I feel like doing it, it works very well. And that fireplace will heat the whole house. And the reason I leave the blower on, and a lot of people should take this into consideration, leave the blower run. It takes more electricity to fire that motor up than
right.
it is to just let it run. And it will circulate the heat from the fireplace through the whole house. That helps to circulate that heat. And then at the same time, the propane will not be used until maybe 2 or 3 in the morning when that fire dies down. Everybody's asleep and the fire's down to embers or coals, and it's really not putting out the heat. The thermostat that senses what that fireplace is doing in that room, it shuts down, and then the house cools down to the level of the propane furnace where I have that set, and it kicks in. So the house never gets cold. But in the morning, I'll put some more logs in that fireplace and get it going again, and it just fires up and it takes over. And it's not really automatic, but as close as you could get to it. And if I did bring in a lot of wood, I could heat with wood exclusively, but I don't. And I've got I've got over 20 acres of hardwood of oak trees, so. And the only wood I've used is what I've the trees I've cut up that have fallen down. I've very rarely
right.
cut a tree down for firewood. I just cut the ones up that fall down throughout the year and harvest those. That's what I've done. And I don't use wood as much as I should. I have a huge supply of it, so I'm not worried about the future if I do need wood. And then I do have some solar panels, but a very small bank, and it's mainly to charge up the batteries that I use for my ham radio equipment. So I run the ham equipment on batteries almost exclusively.
Well, guys, we're out of time. I thank everybody for participating. Tom, we got to get together here soon and talk. Kyle, thank you for your call. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in about 2.5-3 minutes with Dr. Len Wilbert.
It's happening, ladies and gentlemen. We here at RBN are working with Front Sight Firearms Training Institute to bring our audience the best in combat, tactical, and defensive firearms training. Whether you're a private citizen who is new to firearms, or you have a concealed weapon permit, and want a level of training that surpasses what you've received from your local gun range, Front Sight provides priceless education and skills taught by seasoned law enforcement, military, and private citizen instructors to levels that far exceed law enforcement and military standard. With nearly 1 million responsible citizens trained from every town, city, and state from across the United States, Front Sight has bolstered the Patriot movement to a whole new level. Contact Dan Sutterfield by phone at 573-762-2356 or 573-465-2356 or shoot him an email at domedan, domedan@hotmail.com. This is a limited time opportunity. Don't miss it.